couple of women were on their coffee break at their job. Their conversation drifted into the efforts that they were going through trying to lose a few pounds. In the course of their discussion, one of the women reached into a sack and pulled out a massive cinnamon bun dripping with icing. And her friend's eyes got really big, and she asked, "Is that allowed on your diet?" She said, "Well, it's only okay on my second diet." Second diet? You have two diets? I don't understand. And the woman said with a mouthful of cinnamon bun, "My first diet wasn't giving me enough to eat." I thought about that this week, and I realized something, that I don't think that I have ever preached to anyone who struggles with getting enough food to eat. Maybe when I preached at the Apache Reservation in Sholo, Arizona, but even then I'm not too sure. You go to Amazon today and you will see very few books listed on how to survive starvation. You will see hundreds of thousands of books telling you how to lose weight. Our problem is not thinking about how we will get enough to eat. Our problem is eating without thinking at all. And this is where prayer can help. We have been in this series where we are studying how Jesus taught us to pray. We're studying the Lord's Prayer. We're going through this, looking at what Jesus actually said. We want to learn how to pray more effectively. And think about it. If you are like me, a lot of us learn to pray at the dinner table. The family meal at my grandma's house is where I very first soloed in prayer. And maybe that experience is the same for you as well. And yet, that is one of the most holy and sacred places that anyone can gather. And Jesus, in just six little words, gives us a lot of food for thought today. And those words are, "Give us today our daily bread." Now, here is the very first thing that I want you to know about that, and that is this. It is spiritual to pray for the physical. Jesus is teaching us how to pray. He has taught us to hallow God's name, to ask for God's kingdom to come, to ask for God's will to be done. You see, this request recognizes something for us when he says, "Pray for your daily bread." He's asking us to recognize that this human system that we are a part of is frail. It is part of God's kingdom agenda to ask for sustenance, or God would not have asked us to do it. Now, elsewhere, Jesus would teach that man does not live by bread alone, but man cannot live without bread at all. Our bodies are not self-sustaining. They have needs that our Father in heaven cares to meet. God is concerned about our bodies because God has eternal plans for our bodies. We pray to a God who wants to fill our hearts and our stomachs. It's really amazing if you read the scriptures with this in view, how often this shows up. You remember when he promised Israel a land that would be good? How did he describe it? It would be a land overflowing with milk and honey. It would be a land filled with good food. And it's interesting to me that when God talks to us about our promised land, our future home, the metaphor often used in the Bible that Jesus uses to describe heaven is a banquet. We're going to gather together at a table with Lord Jesus and sit down and eat. Praise God. In fact, I think it is significant and very beautiful that one of the things that Jesus did after his resurrection, before he ascended, was fix breakfast for his disciples. That would be amazing. Going to breakfast that Jesus himself prepared. That's really cool, even cooler than having a burger at Richard McMichael's house. You see, it pleases God to give us pleasing food. It fits his kingdom agenda. But the problem is that we often see no connection between God's kingdom and our bread. We are too much like the father in the scene that you are about to see from a really great old movie. If you haven't seen it, you should try to find it and watch it. The movie is Shenandoah. Watch this clip.
Lord, we cleared this land. We plowed it, sowed it, and harvested. We cooked the harvest. It wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be eating it if we hadn't done it all ourselves. We worked dog bone hard for every crumb and morsel, but we thank you just same anyway, Lord, for this food we're about to eat. Amen.
We often see no connection between the kingdom of God and the food that's on our table. But the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all of it for the glory of God. We should eat food for the glory of God. And I believe daily prayer is going to help make our daily meals more God-honoring. So Jesus says, give us today our daily bread. Learn to pray that prayer. And that prayer is going to be a marvelous antidote for us in at least four areas. Let's look at this prayer word for word. First, give is an antidote for pride. The very first thing we need to remember is this. God is the source for all our met needs. We don't pray to let God know that we need food. We need to let God know that we know that he is the ultimate provider of the food that we already have. Psalm 104, verses 10 through 15 says, he makes springs pour into water, into the ravines. It flows between the mountains. They give water to all the beasts of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds of the air nest by the waters. They sing among the branches. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied by the fruit of his work. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for man to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread that sustains his heart. The Bible's position when it comes to food, whether it comes from the ground or walks on the ground, whether it comes from the sea or flies in the air, the Bible's position is simple. It all comes from God. And it's significant to me that when Jesus takes those loaves and those fishes that he's about to feed 5,000 people with. I mean, this is miraculous food. The very first thing that Jesus does in that is he gives thanks to God for it. He saw God as the source of the food that he was about to distribute to all of those people. Now, God doesn't usually give us food with miraculous feedings. Typically, God gives us food in two ways, either through benevolence, and there's a whole lot in our Bible about how people with much food should share with people with little food. And the other way that God gives food is through work. In fact, our Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, for even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, if a man will not work, he shall not eat. God gives us strong bodies. God gives us able minds that we can create with. And so through work, the resources to feed yourself and your family comes. But the danger is that we begin to be tempted to forget God and begin to see ourselves as the source of our blessings. Just like that dad in that video clip we watched. We did this. We cleared the land. We planted the crop. We harvested it. We cooked it. We did it. But we're supposed to say a prayer to you, God, so thanks anyways. That's why Jesus says it's so important that you learn to pray. Prayer is spiritual warfare to protect you from the deception that you are the source of your own blessings. Farmer went to visit some family in the big city. When it came time for the meal, he began to bow his head because he assumed that they were all going to pray before they ate. And one of his relatives says, "Oh, come on. We're too sophisticated here for that kind of thing. Nobody with an education prays at the table anymore." The farmer admitted that the practice of giving thanks before you eat is an old practice. And he even went on to admit that there are some back at the farm that didn't pray before their meals. His relative, feeling justified, said, "Well, I am glad that enlightenment is finally coming to the farm. Who is it that's not praying before they eat?" The farmer said, "My pigs." You see, prayer will encourage distaste for pride, and that will enhance the taste of everything else. This prayer is a wonderful antidote for pride, but us is an antidote for selfishness. Give us today our daily bread. Notice that plurality, the corporate nature of the prayer, the focus on community, not just on you. The purpose of prayer is not to make us more self-centered. God is on record. He doesn't answer positively prayers that are selfish and self-focused. He is on record about that. James chapter 4, verse 3 says, "When you ask, you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures." I want you to notice that Jesus teaches us when we pray about food, we need to remember as we talk to the Father that He has other children. The words of this prayer rule out wastefulness. And admit it, especially in America, we waste a whole lot of food. The words of this prayer rule out hoarding. And the words of this prayer rule out apathy. A child in the kingdom cannot not have a burden about his brothers and sisters who are hungry. This prayer reminds us that feeding the hungry is spiritual work. A man cannot hear the gospel of Jesus if his stomach is growling. This prayer is not just for starving people. In fact, I would contend those of us who have full pantries, we ought to be more moved in God's goodness to pray this prayer even more than starving people. We ought to be concerned about bread for the hungry world. There's a story about a ship that was lost at sea and only two men survived. They found themselves on a deserted island. They knew they were in desperate shape. They agreed that they needed to go to either side of the island, different parts of the island. They were going to pray. They wanted to see whose prayers alone would be more effective. So the guy on one side of the island began to pray for food, and the next day he found a fruit-bearing tree. But the guy on the other side of the island found nothing. He got lonely, and he began to pray for a wife. So there was another shipwreck, and a woman swam to the shore, became his companion. But the other man had nothing. He prayed for more food. He prayed for a place to stay. It seemed like everything he prayed for happened. And finally, he said, "I want to leave." And he prayed for rescue, and a ship showed up. And he was prepared to leave his companion on the other side of the island. I mean, after all, why does he deserve rescue? None of his prayers are being answered. And then a voice from heaven spoke to him, "Why are you leaving your companion? Your companion only had one prayer, which I answered. And if it were not for that, you would not have received any of my blessings." And the man said, "What did he pray that I should owe him anything?" And the voice said, "He prayed that all your prayers would be answered." What Jesus is teaching us is that when you talk to the Father, don't forget your brother. The fact that you have a lot of food does not mean that this prayer does not matter to you. Because you have brothers and sisters all over the world who are hungry. Give us today our daily bread. So this prayer is an antidote for pride. It's an antidote for selfishness. And today is an antidote for worry. Now notice, Jesus assumes that we are going to be praying every day. Have you ever sometimes let your prayer life become worry central? Instead of a prayer getting rid of worry, prayer for some people is where they increase their worry. So you use prayer to try to order the future. But if we could order the future, we wouldn't need a faith to step into tomorrow. You see, God wants you to pray every new morning, not because he likes to hear you beg, but because he wants you to learn to live in daily dependence on him. Isn't that what he tried to teach the Israelites? They were out in the wilderness and they cried out, God, we're hungry. And God said, okay, I'll take care of you. Every day you're going to have food. And how much food would they get every day? They would get enough for that day. God wanted them to learn the lesson to depend on him daily. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 34, so do not worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I came across an expression that I really like. It goes like this: don't sweat the petty things, and don't pet the sweaty things. There's a lot of wisdom in that. I've shared with you before about a very dark period in my oldest son's life when he was in rebellion. And he severed all ties with my wife and I. In fact, for over a year, he didn't speak to us. Not without my effort of trying. I tried. But there was no answer. And during that dark period for us, my wife and I went to Michigan for a pastoral retreat. And at that retreat center we were at, there was a little prayer shack that sat on the shore of a lake. And one morning I got up very early as the sun was coming up to that prayer shack. And I sat alone in that shack and I prayed to God. In fact, it got so quiet I could hear my own heartbeat. Haven't happened to me very often. And I poured my heart out to the Lord over the whole situation that we were facing with my oldest son. And God responded to me in that little prayer shack that day, and he told me, let it go. I've got this, and let me handle it. And I did. That day I did that. I hadn't done that until that moment. And it wasn't too much longer. In fact, it began through the process of my youngest son, where the walls began to break down and restoration began to happen. But I learned something over that period. I learned I'm a control freak. I like to order things. I like tomorrow to be all planned out and mapped out. But I learned you can live and not sweat the petty stuff. Because during that time, I did. Because nothing else mattered to me during that time. So somebody would complain at church about the temperature in the auditorium. Or somebody would tell me, you know, I didn't really like that topic you preached about. Or they didn't think we should be doing this. Or I don't think the church should focus on that. And you know what? I didn't care. Because all I cared about was my son. I didn't sweat the petty stuff. And I discovered something. Most of what we sweat is petty. You see, daily prayer will help keep the petty things petty. Give us today our daily bread. One more thing. Bread is an antidote for materialism. Notice, Jesus did not teach us to ask for our daily filet mignon. We are to ask for and be content with necessities, not niceties. And this is not easy to do in a culture that is consumed with consumerism. Our culture is so sick with materialism, we don't even know that we have the disease. You see, it is hard to know that you're sick when everybody else you know has the disease that you do. And this breeds one of the deadliest spiritual cancers of all, the spirit of discontentment. How many American Christians do you know that could truly embrace the words that Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, verse 8? But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. How many of us could honestly pray the prayer of the wise man Agur in Proverbs, Proverbs 30, verses 7 through 9? Two things I ask of you, O Lord, do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me, and give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may have become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. Could you actually be happy with daily bread? Because you know what the biblical definition of poverty is? We call poverty living below a certain economic line that, to be honest, most of the world would consider pretty awesome, by the way. But the biblical definition of poverty is that you don't have any bread to eat that day. The reason we are wealthy in God's eyes is because we have bread for today. And even we have bread in our cupboards for tomorrow, when we are not even promised that tomorrow will come for us. As I said at the beginning, I don't think I have ever preached to people who have prayed this prayer and they weren't meaning it in a metaphorical sense. It's really interesting how people with just hope that they might get bread for that day, how they hear the gospel compared to people in this culture. I think about Dee Dorsey and her husband Wickley preaching to people and teaching them to pray for daily bread in Haiti. So let me ask you this morning, do most of us need more bread, or do we need to be better stewards of the bread we already have? I want you to hear the words from Pastor John Piper in one of his books. He wrote these powerful words. God is not glorified when we keep for ourselves, no matter how thankfully, what we ought to be using to alleviate the misery of unevangelized, uneducated, unmedicated, and unfed millions. The evidence that many professing Christians have been deceived by this doctrine is how little they give and how much they own. God has prospered them. And by an almost irresistible law of consumer culture that's baptized by a doctrine of health, wealth, and prosperity, they have bought bigger and more houses, newer and more cars, fancier and more clothes, better and more meat, and all manner of trinkets and gadgets and containers and devices and equipment to make life more fun. They will object, does not the Old Testament promise that God will prosper his people? Indeed, God increases our yield so that by giving we can prove our yield is not our God. God does not prosper a man's business so that he can move from a Ford to a Cadillac. God prospers a business so that 17,000 unreached people can be reached with the gospel. He prospers the business so that 12% of the world's population can move a step back from the precipice of starvation. So is making a big salary a sin? No. The issue is not about how much a person makes. The evil is in thinking that a $100,000 salary has to be accompanied by a $100,000 lifestyle. God has made us conduits of His grace. The danger is in thinking that that conduit needs to be lined with gold. It should not. Copper will do just fine. You see, I believe when Jesus is talking about bread, air quotes, and I put that word in air quotes, it's because He's talking, I don't think, just about bread alone, but about any physical blessing that God gives to us. The final point is this: bread should promote the hallowing of God's name and the coming of God's kingdom. It is okay to pray for physical things. It is spiritual to pray about the physical. But why do you ask for bread? Is Jesus teaching us to pray some self-centered prayer? Of course He's not. He just taught us to pray for God's name to be hallowed, for God's kingdom to come, for His will to be done. We ask for bread, for fuel, to help us honor His name, to seek His kingdom. God is going to meet our needs so that we can meet His will. That's why we pray for it. Now, the day is going to come when the kingdom of God is going to come fully. And we won't need to pray the last half of the Lord's Prayer anymore. When the kingdom has fully come, you won't need to pray for daily bread. You won't need to pray anymore for forgiveness. You won't need to pray to not be led into temptation. You won't need to be praying for deliverance from the evil one. But until then, until the kingdom of God fully comes, we need bread today to bring the kingdom to somebody else. That's why we ask for bread. That's why God has given you the physical blessings that you have, so that you can go and do His will and help the kingdom come to someone else. God has been so good to you and me. He's given us more bread than we deserve. And you know how much we deserve? None. And we need to make sure that we are giving that back to Him. We took an offering this morning already. Much to my chagrin, I was going to wait to do it at the end of my sermon, but it's already done. But maybe you should reconsider what you gave. I don't know. That's between you and the Lord. But you've been given so much more than we typically give back. I'm going to pray, and as I pray, the worship team, praise team is going to come forward, and we're going to close out our service. Just remember, He is your source. Everything you have is because of Him. Stand up and let me pray over you. Father, we are going to honestly try to give You back what You have given to us already. Lord, we thank You for trusting us enough that not only would You meet our needs, and we have needs, God, but that You would indeed bless us enough to be able to meet somebody else's needs as well. You are a good God, and we don't recognize that enough. Thank You, Father, for the bread You have given us today. May we be good stewards of it. We pray this in Jesus' name.